Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament is coming up on August 9th to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. The show will be out there. Your chance to console Matt. And there's a lot to console. Watching your teams is like watching the train scene in The Fugitive. All right, and believe me, they needed insurance. Auto, home, life, business, RV, motorcycle, boat, bundles. They do a great job. Take care of you. Look, their entire business surrounds you. No you, no business. Customer service means everything to them. Great people. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com, and we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Play-by-play call of the day.
99-76, Smart, driving all the way in on Embiid. Doesn't have to force it. He can run some more clock, bring it back to the outside with 7.5 to go. Celtics lead 99-76.
He's trying to get his ball to Tatum.
He does. Tatum. Right corner against Embiid. Tatum for a 50-piece.
And he, you know what? He showed it. He showed you 50.
A game 7, 50 for Jason Tatum.
No good! No good! No good!
Actually, no, the shot was good. No. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell on the Celtics radio network, two of the best in the business. And the Celtics win Game 7 with relative ease, a 28-3 run in the third quarter. All right, let's get to scheduling now. For some reason, I keep getting texts from Matt saying, we need to talk about something else, we need to talk about something else, we need to talk about something. I don't understand what the issue is.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
But let's get to scheduling. Let's talk about that for a moment, okay? Because I think this is important moving forward. Now, we do know for Penn State they'll have two night games and what the themes of the games happen to be. And the game against West Virginia is at 7:30. That'll be the helmet stripe game. Then Delaware's the Thon game. Then the whiteout at 8 o'clock on CBS on the 23rd of September is going to be Iowa. Right? Then after that, you've got homecoming with UMass, military appreciation with Indiana, stripe out with Michigan, and Rutgers is senior day and all university day. So that's out there. So everybody now knows it's the whiteout. Also, something that should be pointed out, I have not had a chance to talk with Tony Petitti yet, but I've talked to a couple of people who have talked with Tony Petitti, and he has made it very clear that he considers, when he's looking at priorities that make the conference tick, Penn State football is part of the priority, which is that's a good thing. In a lot of ways. He gets it. He understands the TV power of it. So, let's get to what they might do with scheduling, because they're meeting right now, today, tomorrow, in Chicago, the athletic directors. They're looking at various scheduling models. Now, it appears that the appetite to have divisions in the Big Ten, okay, there's not much appetite for that. So it looks like that the idea is they want to go 1 through 16. So how do you schedule around 1 through 16? Number one, because they were doing what was referred to as the 1910 model. Matt was explaining this to me the other day. Remember what you said, Matt? Okay.
Yes.
I'll tell you what I remember from the conversation. Okay. One, you must play one Power Five school. Nine, you play nine conference games. One championship game. Zero, no FCS games. 1910. How'd I do, Matt?
Not bad.
Thanks, Matt. And thanks for the explanation. It paid off in this segment of the show. And Jim Delaney's the one that came up with the 1910 model. Okay? They had to amend the 1910 model because in years where teams, and for Penn State, it's the odd years where they have just four home games, they felt, well, we better give some FCS wiggle room on years where you have only four conference games at home. Okay? So that's where that wiggle room came in. So now what do you do? Now, I'll start with the one I prefer, which I've referred to as the 366 model. I think that formerly they referred to it as Protect 3. I refer to it as 366, and I've talked about it before. And to me, in a four-year span, if you can play everybody home and away, that's really good. And that's what this does. You would have three protected rivals. Now you would have to put in, and everybody would have to agree as to who's a protected rival. Now what happens with that is your protected rivals may be in such a way where it is a scheduling advantage or a scheduling disadvantage. I understand that, but nothing's going to be perfect. All right? But you have three, no matter what. You play them in 2025, these three teams are there. You play them in 2035, these three teams are there. You play them in 2038, these three teams are there. Then the other six, okay, then you have six that you'll play home and away. So let's just say this starts in 20, it has to start in 24. So in 24, you'll have the three protected rivals, six teams, okay, three in home, three away, boom. Then you flip it, and in 25, same six teams. You flip where the home and aways are, boom. Then the other six teams that you didn't play in 24 and 25, you will now play in 26 and 27. So just to make it simple, that means every 4 years, if USC and UCLA are not on your protected list, that means that you will get to play a game in California twice in a four-year span if they're not in your protected list. You'll play one game at USC, you'll play one game at UCLA, and they'll come to your place once each. Okay? Then they have what's called Protect 2. So the other one they're talking about is something called Protect 2. So there are two permanent matchups. Right? And they're going to be there. I think they'd like to do this over a four-year span to see how it's working and see if they have to change up how they're going to do it. And then you would play the remaining league opponents. You play everybody twice over 4 years, and there would be two teams you'd end up playing three times over 4 years. Okay? That's Protect 2. I think what they want to do is, I think after 4 years, they want to evaluate the protects see if they need to make any adjustments in it. But you know it darn well on the protected list. Michigan's always going to play Ohio State. USC's always going to play UCLA. Indiana's always going to play Purdue. In all likelihood, let's face it, Michigan's probably always going to play Michigan State. All right? And then there's this one. It's called Flex Protect. It's a hybrid that consists of one, two, or three protected opponents. And it would give the schedule makers the flexibility in terms of competitive balance and home and away rotations. And part of that is, how do you deal with USC and UCLA again? Now, look, the easiest one, and it's the one I'm in favor of, is 3-6-6, which is protect three. That way you're playing everybody in 4 years. You're guaranteed you're going to get USC here once. You're guaranteed you're going to be playing in the Rose Bowl once. You're guaranteed getting UCLA here once. You're guaranteed playing at the Rose Bowl once. And the same thing with everybody else. You're guaranteed, at, you know, whether it's Minnesota or Indiana, whatever, or Nebraska, you're guaranteed in 4 years they're going to play here. I mean, the current model, I can't begin to tell you. In the current model, how it works, why it works, I don't know. Why is Minnesota on the schedule last year and disappears? Why out of nowhere do you play a game at Nebraska like they did in 20 and they don't show up again? So I don't really know how the new schedule works. Then there's the basketball part. Okay? Again, I prefer, again, in football, what they call Protect 3, and I refer to as 3-6-6. Because I think, to me, I'd rather this be a conference and not a league. There is a difference. I mean, they've been able, you know, because they let Notre Dame in to play ice hockey, you're trending more toward a league. You let Johns Hopkins in to play lacrosse, you're trending toward a league. I mean, to me, a conference is like, this is who you play. There's non-conference games. So now we get to basketball. That's the next part. What do you do with basketball? You can do, because, I mean, this has to be part of the conversation. Sorry, Jack just sent me a text. I had to glance at it. Hey, so that's football. You still have to discuss basketball. Now, you're going to have to discuss everything else, too. You're going to have to discuss soccer. You're going to have to discuss women's lacrosse. You're going to have to discuss volleyball. I mean, you're going to have to discuss all these things, right? But basketball, right now you're playing 20 games. So now you have to make a decision. Start with the basics. Do you want to play 20, 21, or 22? If you go 22, because now you're adding UCLA and USC into the mix, that would maintain the 7 home and aways you're currently playing. And then you would have 8 one plays. If you go to 21, that would be 6 home and aways and 9 one plays. Or if you keep it at 20, which is the direction I think they will go in, you'll play 5 home and aways and 10 one plays. And the reason why I think they'll do that, and you'll rotate who the home and aways happen to be, by the way. It'll be in a rotation. You can do home and away for 2 years with 5, then home and away with 2 years with 5, and then home and away 2 years with the final 5. I think they'll go that direction, in part because you want to keep your non-conference schedule availability. The ability to play in the Maui Invitational, the ability to play in Battle for Atlantis, your ability to play in the Big Ten ACs, the Big East, Big Ten, Gavit games. Maybe they do something with the Big Ten. My apologies. Maybe they do this with the Big 12, because the ACC and SEC are going to start their challenge, because they're both ESPN entities. The Big Ten is not. Fox also has part of the contract with the Big 12, so maybe the Big 12 is a possibility. Pac-12 may not be in the mood to talk to you right now, so that's why I'm not going to put that one out there. But that is... So it still would give you 11 games to play with in the non-conference if you keep it at 20. And then you start to go from there in terms of your ability to put together a conference schedule. Right now you're playing two in December, and then you're playing 18 straight starting right around New Year's weekend going into March. So that's what they're doing the next couple of days. Let's see if they come out with a solution that they get on track with, or if it's just more conversation. We'll have to find out. But that's what they're looking at. Those are the three basic models they're looking at. I mean, do you need to find it this second? No. I mean, but, you know, are you running out of time? No. I mean, you still, you know, there are other meetings to take place, but do you feel like you'd like to have, like, a pathway? Yeah, I think you'd like to walk out with a pathway. And and something that they're trying to make sure that they're trying to avoid with these models, they want to make sure that you don't, that when you go to the West Coast, you only have to, in football, you only have to do it once a year. Okay? They don't want you to go to the West Coast twice in one season. And again, Matt, brilliant job on the 1910 model. It was really good.
Oh, thank you. Worked hard on it.
Well, you had to take your mind off other things.
F-O-U-L-E-D, that spells founder!
And by the way, our guy here celebrated, what, was it your 30th birthday?
It was yesterday, officially it was.
All right. I had a big surprise party for him.
Yes, that was the day before on Saturday, yes.
Big surprise party. Luke went out and mowed the lawn. It was great.
That's essentially what happened. Yeah, it was quite the weekend.
I don't quite get why. You know, I mean, he's three, right?
If he likes to do it, I'm not going to stop him.
I just... This is sad, sad. Now, Florida State wants to somehow figure out a way about this ACC contract. And they're going through their meetings. It's interesting. They're talking about where they sit in the ACC power pecking order. We'll talk about that in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
All right, so TV viewership. Florida State, it says their athletic director has come out and said, look, and let's start with this. They all know Jim Phillips has nothing to do with what's going on, all right? He inherited this. And Michael Alford is the Florida State athletic director. And he doesn't, quote, like the idea that Central Florida, by moving to the Big 12, might get a better TV deal than Florida State. So he does say, he says, something has to change because we cannot compete nationally being $30 million per year behind somebody. In other words, you take the Big Ten deal over 7 years compared to the ACC, you're at minimum $210 million behind. So he says, look, we're the most powerful brand in the conference. Well, TV-wise, they're 15th in the nation. They're actually number two in the ACC. Clemson's actually number one in average viewership. But he says, I make no bones about the fact we're the top brand in the conference. Okay? We look at how they measure media contracts, households, viewership, and championships. We're driving that viewership for our conference at a high rate. There are a couple schools that are really driving the media contract. And believe me, it's Clemson and Florida State. You want to know what Pitt's doing? I mean, Penn State last year averaged 3.1 million viewers a game. You want to know what Pitt averaged? 650,000. And that's an ACC team.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business. RV, boat, motorcycle. Whatever it may be, whatever works for you, they'll do everything they can to make sure you're fully insured and also make sure that you are saving money. So important. So important. Saving you money and making sure you're fully insured, that's quite the combination. And Purdy Insurance believes completely in customer service, what they built the entire business on. And don't forget, they'll host the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, Susquehanna Valley Country Club, on August 9th. Wednesday, August 9th, to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online, sunburymotors.com. All right, so we're talking about the power of brands, right, which is, you know, and a lot of it you'll see will come down with, and TV ratings in part can show that power. I mean, it really can. And that's what, you know, you sit there and you look at it and you can see the national championship obviously draws really well. All right. And you then have others that turns out when you look at the regular season, you can see who the power brands happen to be. Penn State football last year averaged for all 13 games better than 3.6 million viewers per game. I mean, 3.6 million. Which puts them right in the neighborhood of the top five. again. And that's what you're looking for. So what about Florida State and Clemson? 10 and 15, respectively. But you look at Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State are right there in the top five, right? Southern Cal's 14. This is last season. Nebraska, 16. Michigan State, 17. Maryland is 19. Now, they don't draw well at the stadium, but they're 9. Maryland is averaging more TV viewers per game than Arkansas and Oklahoma. Now, that's helped in part because they play Penn State, helped in part because they play Michigan, helped in part because they play Ohio State, all right? UCLA's 25, Wisconsin's 26, Iowa's 27, Indiana's 31, Illinois's 32, Northwestern's 35, Minnesota's 37, okay? The top 37 are all average more than 1 million viewers per game. After that, there's a drop-off. Everybody else is under 1 million. Purdue is 870,000. Remember, they got 3.5 million to watch the Penn State game. Syracuse, 841,000 a game. I mentioned Pitt, 650. Rutgers, 618. Miami, 608. See, this is a problem that they have with the ACC. Okay, so let's go through the ACC teams. Okay. Clemson's 10. Florida State is 15. Let's see, in terms of average viewers per game. After that, you get to... They're the only ones that are over 1 million, by the way. Georgia Tech's 49. Pitt's 56. Miami's 59. Wake Forest is 60. Louisville's 63. Boston College is 70. Virginia Tech is 76. Virginia is 79. Virginia's only 237,000 viewers a game. Now, North Carolina and North Carolina State have got to be over this mark. They've got to be. Ding, 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 ding. I'm sure somewhere. North Carolina's 46. And North Carolina is at 849,000. I mean, this is the problem they have. When you're talking about the million mark, the Big Ten has 14 schools. Now, obviously, a lot of these games are helped out. Purdue and Rutgers and Northwestern are the only three that are under 1 million. The other 11 are over 1 million. Huge. Okay? And that's big. That just shows you the power of the conference, but also the matchups. For example, Wisconsin is helped out by they played Michigan last year. Indiana is helped out by playing Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State. Same story with Maryland. I mentioned that already. Michigan State, good brand, but they're helped out by playing Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan. They're going to draw them along. SEC, anybody in the SEC is helped out by playing Alabama and Georgia and, to a point, LSU. Notre Dame was helped out last year because they played Clemson and Ohio State. That was big. That was big. And that's the draw that you have in the conference. Florida State and Clemson, they can be two top draws, right, without question. But the difference is, when you sit there and look at everybody else, it gets dragged down. You even look at the playoff, for example. Playoff ended up being great for everybody across the board. But the national championship game was not the highest viewed game. Highest viewed game was Georgia-Ohio State. That was the highest viewed game. It was Georgia and Ohio State. Michigan and TCU was second. National championship game was third. And the Rose Bowl with Penn State and Utah was fourth. I mean, TCU and Georgia was not a draw. TCU, by the way, ended up being number 13 overall in average viewership. But the most viewed game was Georgia-Ohio State. Semifinal game, 22.45 million. Fiesta Bowl, 21.7 million. National Championship, 722. Rose Bowl, about 11. Those are the only four that were over 10 million in viewership. And the bowl games, by the way, the ratings for the bowl games were all up this year. All of them were up. So, and Notre Dame does fine. Notre Dame was sixth in viewership. What they got? Let me see here. Notre Dame ended up with 39.6 million viewers. She had in their bowl game. Ends up to be about 45.7, which is lower than Penn State. 45.7 divided by, oops, 45.7 divided by 13 in Notre Dame. Yeah, great year for them. Penn State was 3.6 million viewers per game. Notre Dame was 3.5. That's tremendous. When you look at all the games that they played this year. I mean, but that's what you're looking at brands. I mean, Florida State played Oklahoma. You know what? Good number for that. That was one of the tests. So let's take Florida State. They are in the 2, 4, 6, 8. They were ninth as a bowl game. 5.4 million viewers. So that bolsters their argument. By the way, the Army-Navy game was actually had more viewers than Notre Dame, South Carolina, or Florida State, Oklahoma. Did you know that? 6.9 million viewers for Army-Navy.
I'm not shocked, but at the same time, that's pretty sad.
Well, it's a standalone game. There's no other. They have no competition. Tennessee, Clemson, by the way, Orange Bowl, did pretty well. 8.6 million viewers to bolster their argument about what they are. But this is the argument they're going to make. They're going to make the argument that there are two schools in the ACC that average over a million viewers per game. It's just Clemson and Florida State. That's going to be their argument. The question is how innovative. SEC is number 2, 4, 5, 7. Get the Texas, they're 8. If you want to add them in. 18, 20, 21, 22, 28. Kentucky's 28. Mississippi State's 36. Those are the ones all over a million. Let's take the Pac-12, still negotiating. What do they have to negotiate with? Well, let's start with USC. USC is 14. They're leaving, but they're 14. UCLA is 25. And those are the top two in the conference. Uh-oh, trouble in River City. Everyone keeps talking about, I think Oregon's got to be higher than that. Oregon's the highest. They've got to be the highest. Bing, bing, bing. Yeah, Oregon's 12th, 2.2 million. They're one. Southern Cal's two. Although, when yeah, that's minus the bowl game, though. And Southern Cal, they drew pretty well TV-wise for their bowl game. UCLA got $2.8 million for their bowl game with Pitt. Yeah, USC, $4.2 million. Where's Oregon? Oregon is, what'd they get for theirs? Ding, 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 ding. I don't even know who Oregon played. There's Oregon State. Who did Oregon play in a bowl game? They certainly weren't in the Camellia Bowl. Yeah, they played North Carolina in the Holiday Bowl. Yeah, they got almost $4 million. It's pretty good. So Oregon's one, Southern Cal two, UCLA is three, Washington's 34. And those are the only four that are over a million in the Pac-12. Washington State's 41. Stanford's 47. What a powerful... If I hear one more time what a powerful brand Stanford is, like, nobody's watching them. They average 846,000 viewers a game. No. Let's see. Who else? Arizona State, 71. God, UConn's higher than Duke. That's not good. You know who's last? James Madison. You wonder why Florida Atlantic needs basketball? They're 117th. Yikes.
There it is.
And just so you know, Maction is not doing well. On. There's a lot of Mac teams down here. A lot of MAC teams down at the bottom. But that's where they are. And I realize, like, you take Arizona and Arizona State. Colorado, you want to know why they need Coach Prime? They're 67th in TV viewership. Now, that's going to change. There are going to be people watching to see how much better they are. You're going to see people are going to be watching to see whether he loses. Colorado State actually has a higher average viewership than Colorado last season.
I'll be curious to see the ratings for Colorado at the beginning of the year when the curiosity's there for Dion, and then yeah, it sloped back drop. Down when everybody realizes that it's a fraud of a organization.
They'll drop. There's no doubt it'll drop. No doubt. But again, you know, this big poll, we got to get, remember, we got to get Rutgers in. Rutgers average 618,000 viewers a game, and that includes playing Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan, right? Okay. Imagine what the numbers, you know. I mean, that's why you want to add in USC and UCLA. I mean, you just get some of those matchups in there. Makes a big difference. But this is the argument Florida State's making about their brand. This is the argument they're making. They're the number two most watched ACC brand behind Clemson. And they're not that far behind Clemson. Clemson's 10. Florida State is 15. And the numbers, that's where you take a look at some numbers. You can get some data and start churning out some data. Again, Penn State averaged 3.6 million viewers per football game last season. Okay. That's spectacular. they had four games of over 4 million viewers. 1/3 of their schedule. It's not bad. That's why you go to bat for programs like that. And you, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see the whiteout versus Ohio State and Notre Dame. It's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. Because I'll be honest with you, Notre Dame is an awesome brand. They are not a fun team to watch play, though, right now. That's not a fun team to watch. They're so defensive-oriented. They don't really have a great quarterback. So, like, there have been other Notre Dame teams that have been, like, no matter what, really fun to watch. I didn't find Notre Dame fun to watch last season.
You are correct.
No, I'm just talking about entertainment value. I'm not talking about the quality of the program, the coach, anything like that. I'm just talking about the entertainment value.
Yeah, but you're right about that, too, because you had an offense that was inept and couldn't score points.
I mean, that's not fun.
No. There was no facet that was enjoyable of Notre Dame football except maybe the bowl game against South Carolina last year.
That was a good game. I enjoyed that. Now, that was a fun game to watch.
And the Clemson game, too.
The Clemson game was fun to watch.
Yeah. Those two games, and that was it for me as a Notre Dame fan.
So, there you go.
By the way, Andrew Marchand says Deion's Colorado debut versus TCU will be on Fox on September 2nd.
Okay, so Saturday. So they did not move the game. Okay, there you go. All right, we will take a break. One last break here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Okay. Neil Kulong tomorrow. Matt's officially into his 21 days of mourning with now one down, 20 to go.
I'm going to say it's more likely like 10 or 11 because I did not think they were going to win Game 7.
I didn't think they were going to win Game 6 or 7.
I thought if they were going to win the series, they should have won at home, and they didn't. And I did not think they'd win Game 7.
There's something about them. I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something they don't quite have. And that's why when it came time to close out, and it's more than just talent. It's more than just talent. It's just something the Sixers don't have.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.